You're listening to 88.1 WVPE. Good morning. I'm Michael Linville. I'm pleased to be joined this morning by James Mueller, the Democratic candidate for the mayor of South Bend. Mr. Mueller is a South Bend native and a graduate of St. Joseph High School. He attended the University of Notre Dame, where he triple majored in math, history, and philosophy. After graduating from Notre Dame, he went on to pursue a PhD in ocean science and engineering at the University of Delaware. In 2015, Mr. Mueller was working as the research director at George Washington University's Solar Institute when he received a call from Mayor Buttigieg asking that he return home to join the Buttigieg administration as chief of staff. He would later become the executive director of community investment for South Bend, where he was responsible for attracting businesses to the city and investing in neighborhoods. In January, he took an unpaid leave of absence to run for mayor. And in May, Mr. Mueller received 37% of the vote to beat a large field of candidates, securing the nomination to be the Democratic candidate for South Bend's mayoral seat. Mr. Mueller, thank you for your time this morning.
Of course. Good morning.
You've basically positioned your campaign as a continuation of the Buttigieg administration, saying on your homepage of your campaign website, "We've come too far in the last 8 years to stop now." Can you highlight for me, please, two or three areas where you're particularly pleased with the work that the Buttigieg administration accomplished?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, when I was growing up here in South Bend, we had been in the midst of a decades-long decline since Studebaker closed, and that continued until the last decade or so. So over the past 8 years, we've finally turned the corner. Our population is growing again. Our incomes are rising at a faster rate than the national average, so we're starting to catch up. And we've seen a lot of investment, about $1 billion since 2015 across the city, in our neighborhoods, downtown, and elsewhere. So that change in direction and that inflection point has us going in the right direction, and I stepped up to run for mayor to make sure we keep that trajectory going and hopefully accelerate our growth going forward.
Well, your platform focuses on five main areas, namely the economy, public safety, neighborhood investment, education, and inclusion. You just mentioned some economic numbers. I'd like to touch on the economy and neighborhood development together for a moment. The downtown has seen $90 million in new private investment since Mayor Buttigieg took office, but critics say while the downtown has thrived, not enough attention has been given to poor and minority communities. Do you think that's a valid criticism, and what are your plans to revitalize the city's neighborhoods?
It's a valid point that we've heard from residents across the city. But if you go back in time, looking at where we were in the midst of decades-long decline, we needed to get a spark to the economy and get investment, which does pay back so that we can reinvest in our neighborhoods. So all these projects coming online downtown and near Notre Dame and elsewhere are going to generate property tax value over the long run that we can then use to reinvest in our neighborhoods. And so we've been in the midst of a shift over the past couple of years. When I moved over to community investment a little over 2 years ago, we were able to increase the level of investment into the neighborhoods, and that led to a unanimous bipartisan support of this year's budget, and I was proud to see the Common Council and city administration continue that approach for 2020.
One of the efforts Mayor Buttigieg undertook to address some communities in the city was his Abandoned and Vacant Properties Initiative, where he vowed to repair or raise 1,000 homes in 1,000 days to clean up certain segments of the city. That proposal wasn't without its critics and controversy. Residents in the neighborhoods most affected said they weren't really included in the process, faced short time windows for meeting repair orders before their properties were raised, and that the initiative has left empty lots in the northwest and west sides of town. Are you sympathetic to those complaints?
Well, so, I mean, the initiative started in response to neighbors being concerned about these dilapidated houses that were vacant and abandoned. You know, in any new thing or any new approach, you learn from experience. And over time, I think we responded to any shortcomings that the program has had. And we saved about 40% of the houses in the first 1,000 days. And now we're kind of flipping that ratio to more like 60% with the ongoing maintenance of vacant and abandoned houses.
I want to switch our focus for a moment to public safety, which you list as your top priority, and you've come up with a plan that focuses primarily on reducing violence, recruiting and retaining a diverse police department, improving resident participation and police training, as well as community policing. I want to touch on the reducing violence portion for a moment. The city has seen a dramatic increase in the number of shootings in the last year, and the number of assaults have been up in recent years as well. Do you have a plan to reduce such violence?
So we've been working through the national best practice called the Group Violence Intervention Program.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you'd asked us the year ago, the numbers were actually down. This year they're back up closer to where they were 2 years ago. No one declared mission accomplished last year, and this year's recent spike doesn't necessarily mean that we should abandon the approach. We just need to expand on what we've got built already. And that includes increasing our street outreach program, as well as connecting our youth, or at-risk youth particularly, to opportunities and mentoring.
You also mentioned on your campaign website that you would seek to recruit a diverse police force. Mayor Buttigieg was asked during one of the debates between the Democratic presidential candidates why the city hadn't better addressed the issue of minority hiring in the police department and said, quote, because I didn't get it done. What makes you think you can, and is there something you plan to do differently to recruit more minority officers?
Part of it is what happened in the early days of the Buttigieg administration before I moved back home. You know, everyone knows the well-documented case of the tapes and what happened with Chief Boykin. So early issues in the administration, it made it more difficult to make progress. But we've started to look at where we fall short and have a systematic approach to making sure that we can attract and retain more diverse officers that are representative of the community. But part of it also has got to be a culture shift. There's a little more of a gap than I would have hoped between where we are as a city, particularly in the police department, and where the community expects us to be. So we've just got to have a lot of honest, tough conversations of how to bring both the community and our police together.
Following the police shooting of Eric Logan, a black resident, by a white city police officer, the city's Board of Public Safety created community advisory groups to discuss various police policies and practices. Things like body camera use of force policies, and recruitment. Are you familiar with any of the recommendations that came out of those meetings? And if so, were there any suggestions you felt would help lessen distrust between the police force and minority communities in the city?
Yeah, I attended all seven of those meetings. The expectations are pretty clear and also very reasonable. Like, for example, on the body cameras, in general, they understand that there may be situations that merit turning the body cameras off, such as domestic abuse or other situations where you wouldn't necessarily want the camera rolling. But generally, they're looking for the camera to be on by default. And so in the Eric Logan shooting, it certainly would have been helpful if the body camera had been on, just so that we would have that bit of evidence on what happened or what didn't happen.
Anything on, say, use of force policies or recruitment?
Yeah, the one thing is the current policy is more of a legal document, and so there's not as much practical component to it. So really what it comes down to is making sure there's some clarity in the use of force policy, and specifically what are the repercussions if you violate that. But more importantly, how are we training our officers to respond? Because when you're in a you feel life or death situation, you're going to fall back on your training more than what your understanding of the duty manual is.
On your campaign website, you say one of your initiatives that you're especially excited about is ensuring universal access to pre-K by 2025. How are you going to pay for that?
This is not a city-run program, or it's not saying that we're paying for all of pre-K. What it's saying is universal access. And so there's three main approaches. One, increasing the number of Head Start slots and working with the schools to make those available to households that can't afford them. And then second, making sure that our existing daycare centers move up in quality of education. We're working with the United Way on that already. And then third is making sure that we have the facilities able to do that. And we're excited about a partnership with United Way and 466 Works to make such a facility available in the Southeast neighborhood.
I don't have a lot of time left, but I do want to address one comment that you said earlier in our conversation. You said incomes across the city were rising faster than the national average, but unemployment rates for African Americans and Hispanic residents remain almost twice as high as those for white residents, and the income gap between white and black residents has widened in recent years as well. Do you have a plan to address those discrepancies?
Sure, yeah. This is a problem across our country, and there's certainly some national and state policies that are driving this. But at the local level, we're looking to establish an opportunity fund for underrepresented groups to access financing where they currently cannot due to different barriers. And then we're also looking to see how the city's procurement, as a big the organization that purchases a lot of services and items, figuring out how to make sure that we're taking advantage of all of our local and particularly underrepresented groups here.
Well, Mr. Mueller, I want to thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Michael.
That was James Mueller, the Democratic candidate for the mayor of South Bend. You can hear my earlier conversation with his Republican challenger, Sean Haas, on our website at WVPE.org. This is 88.1 WVPE, WVPE HD1, Elkhart, South Bend.